Good morning. Praise the Lord. Are you excited about Jesus? Come on, are you excited about Jesus? You know, Jesus is here and anything can happen. Anything can happen. Let's all stand, please. You know, there's people that come in here Sundays and you've been battling all week. It might be with physical issues, relational issues, whatever it is. You've walked in here this morning and, you know, you're not in here by accident again. You may say, well, no, I'm the one. I'm in charge. I chose. No, you're not. God is in charge. He had you come in here. And when you come in here, my thoughts are always, I always tell the Lord, I want to make a matter glad. Because we preach the truth here. The truth of the Word of God. We're not going to apologize for that ever. We're not going to compromise from it. Amen. We're going to stand true, especially in the days that we're living right now. They're changing so rapidly, daily now. Reports coming around the world. Things are happening so fast. Jesus is getting ready to break through the atmosphere and call His church home. And we need to be ready as a church. So I just believe in my heart there's people that walked in here this morning and your hearts are heavy. I want you to just put your hand up. We're going to pray with you this morning. If you walked in here, you're just troubled in spirit. You're walking and maybe in fear this morning. Don't just be honest with the Holy Spirit. That's okay to admit. And we're going to pray for you. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Anybody walk in here this morning, you've got depression on you. You got fear up on you. You got turmoil in your heart. And you need a healing in your body. Put your hand up right now. God wants to touch you. Never give up praying and trusting God for the things that we ask Him, because when you do, many times you can hinder what God really wants to do in your life. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And Lord, You see all these uplifted hands right now. Lord, You know the intent of the heart this morning. You know the depth of the pain in the hearts of Your people. You know the distractions that the enemy would try to bring into their lives. You know the deception. You know it all that is struggling in the hearts and mind of people. And Lord, everyone that's got their hands up, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will supernaturally touch their hearts and lives this morning during this service, Lord. And they will sense a peace. They will sense a joy. They will sense a relief and a comfort in their spirits, and a knowledge that You are in control, not only in the world, but You are in control when we allow You to be in control into our lives, Father. You come in and You help us through the tough times of life. And I lift those people up right now and ask that You would move supernaturally upon them and touch their lives. And even now, Lord, let them have a sense of expectation and anticipation of what Jesus is doing and will be doing in not only today, but in the days and weeks to come, should Jesus tarry. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes it's easy to turn a prayer into a message, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know something, people? We're living in a time, I believe, that's we constantly got to be on the alert. And you know, there's things out there that sound really good. They sound really nice, and they are. They're good things that we can do and everything. But one thing that I think that the church has backed away from, in not around the world, but in different pockets of the world, that there used to be a time when you would always have somebody witnessing to somebody or testimonies continually about somebody being saved or being challenged by a Christian approaching them or whatever on the job or in school, the neighborhood or whatever. And the reason I felt in my heart today is to speak on evangelism. That's vitally important. How many in here this morning are here because somebody witnessed to you? My hand's up. Huh? It's because somebody shared the good news of Jesus Christ with you is why you're in church today. It's because God changed your heart and life, because somebody took the time to share the gospel. So I want to speak to you this morning about Jesus witnessing to a woman. So I want to find out, are we going into the highways, the byways, the hedges, and looking for people to share the good news? Have we lost that desire to be out there sharing the good news that Jesus Christ came to earth and died on a cross for us with the lost sinner today? Did we lose that? When we approach people to share the gospel, we start where people are. In John chapter 4, verse 4, this is speaking of Jesus, and it says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." I like that. That Jesus must go through Samaria. Jesus had to go through Samaria. I believe that was Holy Ghost inspired and instigated, that the Holy Spirit led Jesus through Samaria. And during that time in the history, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. They didn't get along at all. Jews coming from Judea to Galilee went around Samaria because they weren't enamored with each other at all. They didn't like each other's. And we in the church expect people to come to us when Jesus commanded us to go to them. Amen? We need to be out there and go to people. You know, I thank God for every chair in here, and we'll add more as time goes, but I see, God, I believe that every church, every chair, should Jesus tarry, is going to be filled with people in this church. I have no doubt about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just a matter when the Lord decides to fill these chairs, he's going to call people in. But it's going to be people that have been approached by people like you and I, too, that have been shared the gospel with them. And we need to go out into the world and to preach the good news. And somebody say, "Don't you preach to me." Well, it's really not preaching when you're sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message. You know, just think about it. I don't have to go into an eternal hell. I don't have to go into an eternal hell because Jesus paid the penalty for all the sins in my life. Isn't that good news? Isn't that something great to share with a sinner? We may be called to go to people that are not particularly enamored with us, too. Did you know that? God may call us to go to people that we don't much like either. Maybe it's the way they dress. Maybe it's their culture. Maybe it's the way they look. You know, I worked with Teen Challenge for 7 years, with most of you already know that. But there was people in there that would I normally go to them if they weren't in Teen Challenge, because of the way they looked and how the world has taken from them and beaten them up and whatever's happened to them. And maybe God has sent people over from other nations, other cultures into our country that he wants us to go to and share the good news. Or are we going to lift up critical spirits about these people because they're different than we are? Jesus didn't do that here. He had to go to Samaria. He had to go there because he had a message on his heart that he needed to share with someone there. And then we need to start from a lower than they are attitude. We should never approach people thinking that we arrive, that we're somebody because we're saved. We're Christians and we know better than you and we got all the answers. We should never approach people like that when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? See, human nature wants to exalt itself, its self-image, and look down on others. That's the natural many times in us. Jesus was always the opposite. When they wanted to put him up on a pedestal and make him king of kings on this earth, he always refused. He always ran from people. He never wanted to be acknowledged and built up. He was an example. Where today, many preachers, evangelists, missionaries, they want to be on pedestals being worshipped today, where Jesus would run from that. But when we approach people, we should bring ourselves, always make sure that we're even maybe even a little lower. Intimidating the lost with lofty religion does nothing but turn them away. Amen? That's why whenever I share the gospel with somebody, I always tell them, what I'm going to tell you is because it's in my heart, and God loves you, and I'm no better than you. I always let them know that right up front. I am no better than you, but I'm sharing something that Jesus Christ did in my heart, and I'm excited about it, and I want you to know about it. Amen? See, listen to this. We are only beggars telling other beggars where we found the bread. That's all we are. We're no better than anybody else. We are sinners lost. And then Jesus saves us. And I want to share that with you. It says in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Will you give me a drink? Jesus asked her. Will you give me a drink? See, Jesus probably sensed her discomfort. Jesus asked her for water. But she was too streetwise, this woman, to think that that is all he wanted was a drink of water. Because it says, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me? Because see, women back in there were second place citizens too, if you want to put it that way. She wanted to know what was really on Jesus' mind. Since Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, her intuition was partly correct though, wasn't it? Because see, Jesus knew her need, and Jesus was interested in more than water. He was interested in her heart. How many of us today are interested in somebody's heart? How many of us are interested in our next door neighbor? How many of us are interested when we go into restaurants, when we go into supermarkets, when we go into businesses, when we do our business, when there's people conversing with us and they're not such nice people, or you can see God is allowing you through the Holy Spirit to sense there's something in that person you'd love to share the gospel with? How many of us are interested in the heart of a lost sinner? And that's what we need to ask God for if we lost that. You know, when I go into a place, I'm always constantly thinking, could I share the gospel here in this situation right now? And most of the time you can. Most of the time you can. See, Jesus knew her need and that of the other people of that region. He knew. And you and I can know that also because we have a Holy Spirit that lives within us. The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness, is the same Holy Spirit you and I have that will help us to discern things around us and in people's lives. I think I told you this one time in California too, and it's happened many times as I've shared the gospel when I was traveling around the country, a woman in a store. God showed me that she was in dire trouble and what the problem was, and when I expressed it to her, she started to cry and she said, how do you know? Are you a witch? And I thought, what an awesome statement. I loved it because that opened the door wide open. And I said, no, a witch is an abomination to God. But I'll tell you what I got. I got the Holy Ghost living in me. Because I got Jesus. He saved me and he lives within me. And he wants you to know that he loves you so much. He knows the brokenness you're walking through. He knows the people who rejected you right now. And he knows you're hopeless right now. And he wants to restore your hope today. And she was crying right in the store as a clerk. And it's awesome to see the power of God move when you and I open our hearts and let us see what God sees. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. See, to push the right buttons, Jesus pushed the right buttons, the water, immediate interest. And the husband, when we get to this part of it, the deep-hearted interest that he had and that he knew she had. She was a lonely woman. Jesus knew it. And soul thirst for something real and meaningful, fulfilling, and enriching. Jesus knew these were things that she needed and wanted within her life. It says in John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Do you know something? When Jesus saves us, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor will I ever forsake you. And every time I walk up to a lost sinner and I share the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus is right there with me through the Holy Spirit. doing a work in that person's life. He's given me the words I need to say to touch that person's heart in life. He's letting that person know that he cares and he's living. Because look what Jesus said, and he would have given the living water. Did you know that the Old Testament is the background for this term? It has metaphorical significance. Listen to this in Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've forsaken the living water. They go to the worldly things. They go to the things that satisfy the lust of the flesh. They go to the things that are temporal in this old world, thinking they're going to get what they need out of life and the joys and the happinesses and all those things. Oh, they're there, but they're very, very temporary. But Jesus says, for me, you can get living water. Living water. I bet her ears perk. Living water. What is living water? Well, it says here, again, in that Jeremiah I just read to you, when Jesus said, you've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. See, Yahweh decries this disobedience of the Jews right there is what he's doing. And he tells them, and they're rejecting the living water, which is him. And the Old Testament prophets look forward to a time when living water shall flow from Jerusalem. This is after the tribulation, by the way. Zechariah 14:8 says, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. And then it says in Ezekiel chapter 47:9, and it shall come to pass, and everything that liveth which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Can you imagine that water, people? That's going to be the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea coming together after that from the sanctuary of the New Jerusalem, and everything that touches it in there is going to be living. Anybody that has sickness, disease, or whatever, anybody drinking from that river, they will be healed. Everything. It says it right there. Living water. That's what Jesus called himself. Living water. Anybody who touches Jesus. Jesus said, drink of me, you will be healed. Are you drinking of Jesus? Are you just drinking your faith, hoping it'll work? You need to drink Jesus. And he's living water in your and my life. The Old Testament metaphor spoke of the knowledge of God and his grace, which provides cleansing and spiritual life and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. John applies these themes to Jesus Christ as the living water, which is symbolic of eternal life, mediated by the Holy Spirit within. Jesus used the woman's needs for physical water to sustain life in that arid region in order to serve as an object lesson for her need for spiritual transformation. And in John 4:10, there's everything she needed to be saved in John 4:10. He told her what it was. He said, living water. He told her who controlled it. He did. He told her how to get it. Ask him. And then he'd give it to you. How many have ever asked for the living water? Jesus said, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. All you and I need to do is ask. When I share the gospel of Jesus Christ and I make an invitation, Jesus is saying, come on to me, whosoever will. And he says, I'll give it to you, eternal life. He'll do it, not me. Jesus will do it. And then we need to be their friend when we witness to somebody. And I'm not talking long-term relationship where we have to build a long-term relationship, because we don't know if we'll know that person more than an hour or less. And maybe sometime we will know them and get to know them as great friends. But they can be my friend for a short period of time too, but you get to know them. In other words, to be sincere when you witness. Be sincere about it. Be truthful about it. And show true concern and love for their person. When you do that, you are becoming a friend to them, and they know it. People know when you are sincere, when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know the phonies out there, too. They know the people who have alternative motives for doing what they're doing. But they also know, you and I, if we walk up to somebody and say, hey, I want to share with you something that could change your life for all eternity. Because I care about you. And they say, well, why would you care about me? And then you can tell them, because Jesus saved me. I never used to care about you. I would despise you. But Jesus changed me and he makes me love mankind. See how the Holy Spirit can work through you and I? If you don't like people, you need to ask Jesus to help you to love them through him. That's how you do it. There's a lot of talk about certain people in our country today that people don't love because they're fed up with them. But I tell you what, those fed up people are the ones that Jesus is after too. And we need to learn to love them and look past all of the cultural stuff and realize those are human beings created by God that Satan wants to destroy and take into hell. When you see the big Harley dude out there and he's all tattooed up and he's got his leathers on and everything and he's mean and he's had a beer in his hand, that's the person Jesus wants to reach out and let that man know that what you're doing is only temporal and you need some eternal living water. And I'm here to tell you, man, I'm the guy. I'm going to tell you what that living water is. That guy is out there waiting. I did that to a guy in Chicago on the street one time in the south side of Chicago. I was walking down the sidewalk, and this gangbanger comes up to me, and he's mocking me because I was carrying a Bible and everything. And I said to him, I said, hey, man, I want to share something with you. And we sat down on a brick wall there. There was a brick wall going through the park, and I said, come on, let's sit down. I want to share something with you. He said, okay. I started sharing the simple gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody that was rebellious toward God. And while I was doing it, it wasn't me, but as I was speaking the words of God, I could see him transforming this man right in front of me. I saw that hardness, that coldness, that deadness that he had. All of a sudden, I watched his mannerisms and the countenance on his face and tears coming down his eyes. It wasn't me. It was who lived in me. Jesus with me was loving that man. And I told him, God didn't call you to live that kind of a life where you're running from the police, where you're living a life where you got to steal, rob, and hurt other people. He's called you into eternity. He wants to bless your life. He wants to use your life to touch other people just like you. And the man dropped his head and gave his life to Jesus right there on the spot. It wasn't me. It was this. This is what changed me. Somebody did the same thing to me. The guy I told you several times, the people know me in church, where I threatened to tear his head off. He's the one who kept witnessing to me. And now I'm up here preaching. Who knows what I would have been doing? But God saved me. And that's what we need to do. We need to be an evangelistic church and realize that the very people living around us in our neighborhood, even in our home, if you have rebellious people in your home, don't give up. Because believe me, God is a lot wiser and smarter and knows what to do through the power of the Holy Spirit than you and I do. See, something the Holy Spirit can do, he can take the Word of God and put it down asunder within, and he can go to the depths of your soul where you and I will never, ever get to. And he can do a work in our family too. Amen? That's why we're always about sharing the gospel, living our lives according to the Word of God. That's what we need to do. You need to know what they believe about the Word of God, and you can ask somebody. You can find out real quick what they believe. Someone who doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God will not be convicted or convinced by the Scriptures. Did you know that? And you can tell that right away when you're out witnessing. You can tell. John 4:16, Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. He got her attention right back. She was trying to go another direction, but Jesus knew. He knew. He was Jesus. He knew what was going on in her life. He knows what's going on in your life while you're sitting here right now. Even as believers, he knows everything. There's nothing hidden that Jesus doesn't know. Just like this woman that he was witnessing to, he called out her husband. Call thy husband, come hither. Since the woman failed to understand the nature of the living water Jesus was offering, he abruptly turned the conversation to her spiritual needs right there. Wow. For conversion and for the cleansing of sin. His intimate knowledge of her morally depraved life not only indicated his supernatural ability, but also focused on her spiritual condition. Did you know that God uses you and I the same way? When we're witnessing, many times the Holy Spirit shows us people's lives as we begin to share the gospel. One day a lady criticized D.L. Moody for his methods of evangelism and attempting to win people to the Lord. Moody's reply was, "I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. Tell me, how do you do it?" The lady replied, "I don't do it." Moody retorted, "Then I like my way of doing it better than your way of doing it." And then, fifthly, be a student of the Word, people. Be a student of the Word of God. Be ready to give an answer should somebody ask. Be ready to find an answer and about the Bible or about salvation. Prepare yourself should somebody ask. Don't be like a Christian who's got so cold and lukewarm in your heart that when God, the Holy Spirit, will send somebody to you and they say, "Are you a Christian?" and you freeze and you don't know what to tell them. I've run across that several times in my walk with the Lord through years, seeing brothers and sisters that have cooled so far down in the things of God. They're so busy wanting their ears tickled today, running to and fro, wanting to hear good things. Lord, how can you bless me today? How can you do a good thing in me today? Well, you know something? I learned a long time ago in my Christian walk. You know something? God already blesses me anyway. And when I'm about doing his business, he's doing my business. He's blessing my life. He's meeting my needs. He's taking care of me. My business is to go out and to reach a lost and dying world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything I have need of is added on. I don't waste my time going to a church so somebody, a preacher, can tell me how blessed I can be and how successful I can be in business and in my family and all things else. I know how I'll be when I walk according to the Word of God. This is what I need, is my ears stepped on sometimes to let me know I'm going off the wrong track. My heart prones to wander, people. I need to hear the Word of God, amen? If you're visiting here today, yes, that's what we do. We just preach the truth. That's all we do. We preach the truth of God's Word. I let the Holy Ghost do the work. It's not me. It's what God's done in my life, and I want him to do it in your life as well. See, John 4:20 says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." See, this question that she had revealed, there was a gaping hole in her soul. She said, "Where is God? My people say worship him in a mountain, and you say that we worship him in Jerusalem. I don't know where he's at." That's kind of where the world is today, too. But you know something? Wouldn't it have been great if you'd been there when Jesus said that to her? I'd love to see the expression on Jesus' face as he heard those words. I wonder if Jesus' eyes watered. He's sitting there looking at his creation, witnessing to her and bringing her in where he needed her to be to hear the truth. I wonder what he thought when she says, "Where is he, basically? Where is God?" And he said, huh? Did he smile at her? When he heard those words, did his eyes water? Did he look up into the clouds and wink at his heavenly Father? I wonder what Jesus did. I don't know. Of all the places to find a hungry heart in Samaria, of all the people to be searching for God, a woman, second-class citizen back then. Of all the people to have an insatiable appetite for God, a 5-time divorcee. And of all the people to receive the secret of the ages, an outcast among outcasts. The most insignificant person in the region. And there's our Jesus. There's Jesus. John 4:26, Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what must have gone through her heart? Lonely woman, dismayed with life, divorced 5 times. What's the next husband going to be like? Her future uncertain, not knowing where everything's coming from. But in front of her sits the Messiah, the Creator, that is witnessing to her. On the way to Calvary. That's what he did for you and I. Everybody in here that's been witness to and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, he saved you the same way. And remarkable, Jesus didn't reveal the secret to King Herod, did he? He didn't request an audience of the Sanhedrin and tell them the news, I'm the Messiah. It wasn't within the colonnades of the Roman court that he announced his identity. No, it was in the shade of a well in a rejected land to an ostracized woman. That's who he shared with. That's Jesus. Can you imagine that? The Creator of the universe. He took time to come to a well in a part of the country where they were not welcome, to a woman who was living in deep sin, that was eternally lost, that Jesus looked. I want her. I want to know where there's hope. His eyes must have danced as he whispered the secret. I'm the Messiah. Can you imagine when he was looking at her? It's me. It's me. She needed to hear that. She was burdened down. It says right here in John chapter 4, 28, 29, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Did you notice that she forgot? She forgot her water pot. This is really good. She left behind the jug that had caused the sag in her shoulders. She left behind the burden she bought. Suddenly, the insignificance of her life was swallowed by the significance of the moment. It's like you and I, when Jesus comes into our life, we get rid of the sin, the baggage, the burdens upon our lives that are holding us down. That's what she ran from, the things that were dragging her down. Messiah is here. Messiah is here. Messiah cares for me. That's why she forgot the water jar. And that's why she ran into the city too. She was excited. How many have lost their excitement for Jesus? That he saved us. Boy, I tell you, I just have a sense in my spirit. Well, I'm not guessing. I'm not speculating. I know we're going to be praising him. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be glorifying him in eternity. Because we're going to see what he did. We're going to see the scars that were meant for us. And we're going to be shouting and joy. People say, well, man, you're a religious fanatic. One of those characters getting fanatical. You bet I am when it comes to Jesus. I don't apologize to anybody. I've never apologized to anybody. And I've never backed down from anybody who called me a Bible thumper, a Bible freak. Been called all of them a Jesus freak. I say, thank you. It's working. Jesus witnessed. Jesus witnessed. That is why she grabbed the first person she saw and announced her discovery. I just talked to a man who told me everything I did. And when a person is truly evangelized, they in turn become evangelists. Did you know that? Have you lost your evangelism, your desire, your want to go out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ? John 4:39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman that Jesus witnessed to, by the way, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. That woman become an evangelist because Jesus just saved her. He gave her a new hope in her life. The power of a life that has been turned around can't be denied, can it? That was her testimony, her witness that she had talked to the Messiah. And the people knew this woman couldn't deny the sudden transformation they probably witnessed on her either. Just look around the church. Do you see any changed lives in here today? Do you? I'm looking through here, the people in here, and I'm seeing changed lives. I know that some of your testimonies and who you were, but I see some changed lives that you'd be a totally different person if you didn't know Jesus. I know I would. But I'm a changed person because of Jesus, not because I'm a good guy and I'm a good worker. It has nothing to do with it. It is the power of God in me that changed my thinking. As I read the Word, it washes me clean of the things I want to do in my sinful, lustful life. Jesus washes away and I become more like Jesus. Praise the Lord. If your life has been changed by the power of God, then you must share this truth with others. Allow them to see the difference Christ has made in your life. And, you know, there's people who were raised in Christian homes. And they'll say, I don't have anything to share. Because I gave my life when I was a widow kid in the house. Because mommy and daddy, grandpa and grandma, great-grandpa and grandma, they were all Christian. And that's the way I am too. I gave my life to Jesus because I was raised. I don't have anything to tell anybody. Yeah, you do. You were born in sin too. And it's the power of God that's kept you living for Jesus, not because how wonderful you are. It's the Holy Spirit that God puts within us. And He gives us a brand new life. It's exciting. I can witness to a gangbanger. I can witness to a baseball player. I can witness to a lawyer. I can witness to an intelligent professor that's way above my head, which I've done. And I watched the Holy Spirit change their lives and bring them into the kingdom of God. It's awesome. See, John 4:42, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of, listen to this, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves and know that it is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. God uses a woman to evangelize, but boy, when Jesus talks, you need to listen. Because I love that verse. It's encouraging when I think of it, the context of the church today. The townspeople believed because of the woman's testimony and came and checked out Jesus. But when they spent time with the Lord themselves, they were even more convinced by knowing him personally. When a believer attends church and studies and prays and grows closer to Jesus through an intimate relationship with him, it does nothing but build their faith. And shame on God's people when they stay out of church on purpose. Shame on them. They're missing what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you and I collectively to be a witness in a dark world. Because our faith grows from hearing each other, being with each other, a worshiping God of a like faith. What does this story say to you about the love of God? What does it say about the Lord's desire for evangelism? How does your life and heart line up with these truths? What a powerful thought. God has already taken the initiative in salvation. Christ died for you. Now it's your move. And this morning I finished there with the message, I'm going to keep evangelizing. But I want to finish this, and I asked my brother Brian to come up here today and share a testimony. One of our people at Crossfire Assembly, I want him to share a testimony what Jesus has done in his life. Come on up here, Brian, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hello. Well, good morning. I've been coming to Crossfire for about 5 months, and I love it here. Most of you know me as the guy back there on the drums. And I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great speaker. But I do have a testimony. And when Pastor Lynn asked me to share, I got excited about it because I thought, what a great opportunity for you guys to know more about me and how I came to the Lord. And so I'd like to open with a word of prayer, if that's okay. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you for this opportunity to tell my story. And I just ask, God, that if there's anyone here this morning that that doesn't know you, Lord, I ask that you would give them ears to hear and a heart to believe. And I thank you, I praise you, I give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my story starts in Minnesota. I was born here in Alexandria. I grew up in Minneapolis, and when I was 15 years old, my family moved out to Plymouth, Minnesota, and I attended Armstrong High School. And while I was in high school, I became good friends with a guy named Craig, another student. And Craig was a born-again Christian. I wasn't. And we had many conversations about Jesus and salvation and things like that. And I always walked away from those conversations thinking, you know, well, Jesus is good for Craig, but not so much for me. You know, I had my own agenda, things I wanted to do. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a drummer in a band and do my thing. So after high school, I kind of had a change in direction, and I joined the military. I joined the United States Army. And I went to Fort Dix, New Jersey, did my basic training, and then I went to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and did my schooling. Became a 52 Delta, which is a generator mechanic. Then I went to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where I spent the next 16 months. And while I was at Fort Bragg, my life was pretty much about me. I was chasing the things of the world, the things that the world says I need to be happy. And then in December of 1985, I met a man named Sergeant White. And Sergeant White invited me to come to church with him. And, well, the last thing I had on my mind was going to church. But for whatever reason, I said, sure, I'll go with you. And so we went to church. He came and picked me up at my barracks, and we went to church. And while we were driving to church, he informed me that he was going to be the preacher that morning. And I thought, okay, what did I get into here? So we get to church. And the worship was great. I had a great time. Something I'll share with you is that Sergeant White was a black man, and this was an all-black church. And the people, they were throwing down. I had never seen anything like it. They were jumping in the aisles, and it was pretty new for me. So anyway, then Sergeant White got up, and he preached. And he was preaching right at me. He was telling me I was a sinner. He was telling me I needed to be saved. He was telling me about Jesus. And I knew it. And one of the scriptures he shared that morning was John 3:16. And I know most of you probably know it well, but for anyone who might not, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And something about that verse that stuck with me was that it didn't say whosoever is a good person, whosoever does what they think is right. It was all about whoever believes. So at the end of the service, Sergeant White asked a question. He said, "Is there anybody here who would like to give their heart to Jesus, give their life to Christ?" And well, to my shame, I kind of shrunk down in my seat and dug in my heels and said, "Nope, not going to do it." So he brought me back to my barracks, and he went his way, and I went my way, and I went back to living the way I was living. But a lot of things he said that morning stuck with me, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And one night, I was in my room by myself, and I pulled out a little pocket-sized New Testament that the Army had given me when I joined. And I just started reading it. And I don't even remember exactly what I read. But after I got done reading, I put the Bible back in the desk. And I got on my knees next to my bed. And I just said, "Lord, if you are who Sergeant White says you are, you're going to have to show me." And that was it. I climbed into bed, I went to sleep, and when I got up the next morning, I knew something was different. I knew something had changed in my heart. I had this peace and I had this love come over me that I had never experienced before. And I knew it was Jesus. And from that point on, I started praying. I started reading the Word. And as I did that, the Lord started revealing himself to me more and more. And losing my train of thought here. So anyway, yeah, I started growing in the Lord. And then I got orders to go to South Korea for a year. So when I got to Korea, I was kind of concerned about, you know, I wanted this life in the Lord, but nobody around me was living for the Lord. I mean, when I got to my barracks in Korea, I walked in that night, and my roommate that I was going to be bunking with said, "Oh, the new guy is here," and he tossed a beer across the room, and I caught it. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do with this? I gave it back to him, and I said, "Sorry, I don't drink anymore." And he said, "Oh, don't worry, you will." But anyway, shortly thereafter, I met an Army chaplain there named Chaplain Evans. And Chaplain Evans loved Jesus with all his heart. And he took me under his wing, and he discipled me. And he taught me about serving the Lord. He taught me about things from the Word of God. We had Bible studies together, and what I thought was going to be a really hard time in my life, that year in Korea turned out to be one of the best. And I was just growing in the Lord and having a great time. And Chaplain Evans even baptized me in a public swimming pool over there. And that was really cool, all these Korean people around trying to figure out what we were doing. We're in the pool in our clothes, and they couldn't quite figure that out. So, but it was really awesome. And then after I left Korea, I got out of the Army. I came back to Minnesota. And shortly thereafter, I got a job working for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. That's where I met Brahm and Amy and Mark and Lisa. And also about that same time, I was attending a small church in North Minneapolis called The Refuge. And in the fall of 1990, the Lord brought a young lady named Christina Mattson into that church. And, well, a year later, she was Christina Lantis. So, that's right. And then in 2004, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association closed its doors in Minneapolis, and it moved to North Carolina. And I got into the trucking industry, and that's what I do today. I'm a truck driver. And so, with that, I just want to ask, you know, is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus? You know, that's why we're here at Crossfire. We're not asking if you know about Jesus. We're asking if you know him. Is he in your heart? Is Jesus the most important person in your life? That's what it comes down to. So that's my testimony. That's how I got saved. That's how I came to know Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, brother. That's good.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting to hear a testimony? Everybody in here has a testimony. And should Jesus tarry, we'll probably get to hear everybody's. Amen? But I think it's vitally important to know how the steps. I know there's more to his story that could be. I mean, for lack of time, there's more that goes into a story. But we also know that the Holy Spirit takes us through a process many times through salvation, as he did myself too. And everybody in here knows that if you've received Jesus Christ, that it happens in steps many times. Amen? But see, we have a God who loves us so much. It's not a hateful God, it's a loving God. He didn't come to earth to condemn. He came to give us life. He came to save us from an eternal hell. He doesn't come and bring judgment upon you. Judgment will come upon yourself by your own personal choice. If you do not receive Jesus Christ, it's not me that's saying I'm judging you. Jesus said that you will be judged. Every person will stand before the judgment seat one day. It'll be the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. If you're not at the judgment seat of Christ as a born-again Christian, you will be at the judgment seat, the great white throne, where God says, "Depart from me, you wicked one, I know you not." And you say, "What a horrible God would do that." No, that was a loving God that gave you every opportunity in the world, and you rejected it out of rebellion, and you didn't want to receive Jesus. That's just simple and to the point. We want to control ourselves, but God knows better than you and I. He knows the way of salvation. He sent Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me." And if you reject such a great salvation, you are rebellious against the Almighty God, and you will be judged according to your own words one day at the great white throne judgment. And it will be so according to the word of God. I did not make that up. I did not write that. God himself put it in his word as a warning to all rebellion, to realize that he gave you and I an opportunity. With everybody standing, please. With everybody, I do this every week because the Holy Spirit is here. Is there anyone in here today that would say, "I don't know if I would die, I would go to be with Jesus"? Or you may be in here this morning like Brian and even myself. At one day we were lost and now Jesus came into our lives. It may be through a message. It may be through a witness. It may be through something, a circumstance. But the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, "I'm giving you a chance today." Would you raise your hand and say, "I need Jesus"? Is there anybody? Is there anybody in here? And if you're prideful and you say, "Well, I don't want anybody to know that. I'm going to keep it to myself." Well, pride is one of the things that God says he hates, because pride is what Satan did against God and got kicked out of heaven. And sometimes it's hard, but everybody that comes to Jesus, Jesus called publicly. Is there anyone? I'm just going to give it a moment of time. And if you're in here and you want to receive Jesus, this is your invitation. And if you walk out of here today, your heart will grow colder and harder for the next time you hear an invitation. This is your chance. This is your time. Is there anyone? And we have a track thing in the back of the church when you leave. If anybody says, "I need to renew my vow to Jesus. I need to get on fire." You need to pull a track and even read a track yourself. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for Jesus. Lord, you're a God who sent your one and only Son to come and to die on a cross for your creation, Father. No other small g God can do that. They're all dead and in the grave and gone. But you, Lord, are an eternal God. And you love us so much that you are willing to send Jesus, who's hung on that cross and took my shame and took my sins and took all the evil that I've done that's in my heart, and you hung it on the cross, and Jesus paid the ultimate for every human being that's ever existed. And Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for that, Father. We thank you for salvation. Lord, I pray that you convict every heart in here to be people of God, people that are willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, people that are always about being ready to share Jesus should somebody ask or you lead them, Father. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I pray that you touch every household, bless every household. Let those that need healing in their bodies walk in divine healing and strength. Those that need finances, Lord, let the finances come in from the east, the west, the north, and the south. Those that need relationships rebuilt, continue to do a work through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you. Should Jesus tarry and we come back as a church next week, Lord, let there be an expectation, Father, for I believe we are on the edge. I believe we are on the verge of something great and exciting for the body of Christ, and that is the rapture of the church. But Lord, I believe also that you are going to be doing supernatural work through your people prior to that. And I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Lord, bless you. Do some great fellowship. Be excited about Jesus. Tell somebody. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Yeah.